request of the Lord today. I believe that I just sense the presence of God in here this morning. And I'll tell you, God loves you beyond anything you could imagine. And His great desire is to bless you. We always think we have to plead with God to bless us. He's just waiting for us to ask. And if we'll ask, He will provide answers for us. And so we're going to be in Ephesians this morning. And I think God has a word for us that it should be very practical and very helpful for you. And so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And I pray you have your Bibles with you and mark these scriptures, because you're going to need these throughout the week. And you're also going to need them throughout your life, because the scriptures of God are life. They are healing to the bones, the Bible says. And so we need that. For Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. We're talking about you are now accepted in Christ right this minute. You don't have to plead to be accepted by God. You don't have to work to do anything to be accepted. You are accepted through Jesus Christ. That's the issue. It's through His works, not ours. We should have works, but we are accepted through His works. So this idea of working to be accepted is not a scriptural concept. I want you to know that. That's not what the Bible says. A lot of churches teach that. It's not so. We're accepted because of Christ. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? And that's you if you believe. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, ever name this name, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. You say, well, what's all that mean? It just means very simply that God has done the work. It was done through Jesus Christ. God has prepared everything that needs to be prepared for you for eternity. And when He finished it, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. One of the ways we know it's done, He sat down. People that usually that work, they stand up or they're on the move. But when you sit down, it's complete. And that's exactly what God did. He sat down at the right hand. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father because it was finished. So what's that mean? What that means is all we now have to do is partake of what God has done. He's done the work, and He said, now partake of it, enjoy it, work with it, let My power go through you in it. And He says very simply, His power is in us, because when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit came. That's how we know that that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit came. He said, when I sat down, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And He said, He's going to give you power. He's going to give you power. He is in us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. But you have to learn how to appropriate it. You have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to live in it. And it's said of two guys in the Bible for sure, and more than that, but it's said of Enoch and Moses, or excuse me, Noah, that they walked in the Lord. They walked in the Lord. What's that mean? That means they walked in the power of God. And that was in the Old Testament. How much more in the New Testament? Because we have something new in the New Testament. Christ came to indwell you and I in our spirit. Satan and his workers did everything they could to keep Jesus Christ in the tomb. They put guards out there, Roman soldiers. They sealed the tomb. They did everything they could possibly do to keep him in the tomb. and the angels rolled the stone away. Hallelujah. Now, this was the greatest demonstration of God's power ever. Jesus Christ's body was totally dead. And God raised that body up. That shows the demonstration of the greatest power of God. You know that takes place in you when you get saved. God raises you up. You were dead, the Bible said, in trespasses and sins, and God raised you up out of that trespass and sins. That's what God did. That's what salvation is. I don't know how anybody could ever stay the same after they're saved. Because you were dead before, and now you're raised up in newness of life. We've talked about this. That's called a direct creation of God. You then become a son and a daughter of God. And then what you have to do is grow into it. It's like that little girl, the orphan girl with the one dress, was put into the palace. And then she had to learn how to live like a queen. It was a learning process. Didn't happen in one day. It was a lifetime process. And so we have this process of we are the prince, we are the queen, we are these things, but we have to grow into that role. We have to learn what's involved in that process. And so that's what the Word of God is all about. The power is in us. Since we always think the power's up there in heaven, the power's up there with Jesus. No, the power's in you. The power's here on the earth. God put his power here. He trusted us with his power. Now that gives us a responsibility, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You have to take the responsibility of what's in you. It's like somebody saying, okay, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million. Now, I want you to be responsible with this money. I just heard of a lady who got a settlement for $60,000, and she blew the whole thing in 3 months. And she didn't have anything. And she got $60,000, and it's gone 3 months later. Well, I don't call that being responsible. Well, we are to be responsible with this power, which is worth a whole lot more than $1 million. That God has put in you and I. He has put his power in us, if we're Christians. So we have to start learning I don't care what condition you're in now, if you start learning the process of how this works, then God will begin to work in your life, and you will accomplish and be able to stand before Jesus and say, I did what you called me to do. I didn't do what you called somebody else to do. I did what you called me to do. And it's not the same for everybody. There's some basic things that are the same. But we're not talking about power in heaven. We're talking about power here. Everybody's looking for the second coming of Jesus because they think when he comes, he's going to bring his power. No, the power's already here. You see. And the problem is the mess in this nation is because the church hasn't used the power that God gave them. We're not supposed to run the country, but we are supposed to give moral value to the country, which will make a difference in the decisions in Washington. Do I hear an amen? All right. Now, we need to discover how it operates. We need to find out how the laws of God are determined, how this power works, and put it into practice. That's our responsibility in this life. I don't care whether we're married, not married, will be married, have a family, don't have a family, doesn't make any difference. We all have that little bit of that power that God wants us to have to do what we're supposed to do. Now the question is, are we doing it? Now I'm going to tell you how it operates. It operates by faith. I'm going to tell you how the power operates. It operates by faith. You know, before you got saved, you had faith in yourself. And you know what you used to do probably? You said, well, it's Monday. But I'm looking forward to Saturday and Sunday because I have plans. And you all week long, you're probably telling somebody, your wife or your husband or your friends or your workers that's working with you, and you're talking about the plans you got for the weekend. And guess what happens? You're speaking those plans all week long. Listen to me now. You're speaking those plans all week long. I'm going to go fishing on Sunday morning. I'm going to go golfing Sunday afternoon. I'm going to cut the grass on Saturday morning. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you got all this stuff. You keep speaking. And guess what happens? Weekend comes, and you do most of that stuff. Unless it rains. Unless it rains. Now, the issue is, you've been speaking it all week, so why wouldn't you be doing it when you got to the weekend? That's the same way the things of God works. You speak it, you speak it, you speak it, and you do it. You speak it, and you do it. You know why Jesus rose from the dead? He rose from the dead because he kept telling his disciples and everybody else that would listen, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be put on a cross, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to be raised on the third day. He has kept saying that over and over and over again. And guess what happened? Exactly what he said. By faith, the Father had already told him this stuff. And so by faith, he came down here and he just kept speaking that to everybody. And they didn't understand it, but he kept speaking it. And he just kept speaking it. And the exact same thing happened. He said, I'm about to be arrested. He was arrested. He went through all the beatings. He went through the courts. He went through all that stuff. He got nailed to an old rugged cross. And a member of the Sanhedrin who got saved, Joseph of Arimathea, took him down off that cross and put him in the grave, just like he had been saying all that time. And I'm going to tell you this. He didn't say that as God. He said it as Jesus Christ, the man filled with God.
That's right.
Just like you are filled with the power of God and the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, I have news. That ought to make a difference in your life.
That's right.
You see. You did all kinds of things before you got saved, and you talked about it, and you spoke about it, and you did all this stuff, and your life was filled with all that. But then when you get saved and you get the power of God in you, instead of being dead in your spirit, you're alive in your spirit, and you have the righteousness, the wisdom, the power, the love, and all the things of God in your spirit, and you get it out of your spirit by faith. Meaning you start speaking the word of God before it happens.
That's right.
You're speaking the word of God. On Monday you say, oh my goodness, Sunday's coming, hallelujah. And we're going to pray for people and they're going to be healed. We're going to talk to people about Jesus. They're going to get saved. We're going to pray for those that have been captured by the enemy and they're going to be delivered. Are you listening to me? That's going to happen on Sunday. I know it's going to happen. I'm praying. Thank you, Lord. It's going to happen. And guess what happens? Sunday comes, and those things happen. That's called living by faith. Living by the Word of God. You're just speaking what the Word of God says. And you don't have to wait till Sunday, of course, but I'm just using that as an example. If you come expecting on Sunday that God's going to do something, you're going to be a part of it in some way or another, and it operates by faith. It operates on the promises of God. Now, here's how it works. You learn the promises of God. You know the promises of God. You start speaking them to your life, your family's life, the church's life, and everybody you love's life. And then you start to walk it out in truth, you see. That's simply how the Christian life works. Now, if you're still living like you were before you made that profession of faith, then you probably weren't saved in the first place.
Right.
Anybody can say a bunch of words. But I mean, were you desperate for God? You see, were you bankrupt in your life? Did you need God to help you out of the miry clay? Were you at a place where you were had given up, but you and then turned to God? And I'm going to tell you, then when you seriously receive Christ as your Savior, guess what's happened? You get saved. Hallelujah. God changes your spirit. And then, instead of doing all that stuff you did before, you're going to do some of it. It wasn't all bad. But then you start speaking the things of God and speaking the things of God. If you're not spending the week speaking the things of God, number one, nothing's going to happen. And number two, you better check out and see if you're saved or not. You see. Shall I be honest here or just say, well, you said the prayer back there 20 years ago. I don't see any change, but you're probably going to heaven. Baloney!
That's right. That's right. Tell it, brother.
I'd hate to be dying with that kind of a promise.
Mm-hmm.
You see? No change? No reality, no God. Exactly right. So if there's no change, if you're so hot after the world and got a little teeny bit after God, then you better get saved. That's it. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to be raised. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be raised. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what happened. What do you think would happen if you never spoke one word of that? It wouldn't have happened.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? It would not have happened because that is God's way. If you accept what the doctor says and you don't start saying, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, guess what's going to happen? Whatever the doctor said.
That's right. You got it.
I mean, and people are so dumb. I was at Walmart this weekend, and as usual, and I saw people wearing masks. This is hilarious to me. Well, I do. Now, here's what I think's hilarious about it. The swine flu's not hilarious. That's not a good thing. Flu's not good. But I heard today on the news, in the world, the entire world, there's 800 and some odd cases of this stuff. In the whole world. In the United States, last year, 35,000 people died of the regular flu, whatever that is. And they've got everybody running for a mask and doing all kinds, jumping through hoops and saying, United Nations, save us. You're the savior. The federal government, save us from the swine flu. Are we nuts?
Get on up, brother.
We're crazy. Listen to what God says.
Right.
And all they're doing is making a big deal out of this so the United States government and the world government are eventually going to be our saviors.
Right.
And guess where they're going to save people to? Eternal hell.
Tell it, brother.
Are you listening? Let's get our perspective right here. Let's start not being ridiculous. I'm not saying it's ridiculous to wear a mask. Wear one all the time if you want to. There's germs all over the place. I mean, and certainly there's places to wear one. But the point I'm making is, let's get our thinking right. And not listen to all the hysteria and all this other craziness going on. And all that stuff, and start speaking the word of God. They've got people so scared they won't come out of their house because of the swine flu. 800 people have it in the entire world. There's something wrong with this whole picture. You see. And so we are Christians. We have to start getting our head on right. I'm not saying there won't be a time to wear a mask. There may be. But I'm just saying we need to start speaking the Word of God instead of what they're saying on the radio, television, and every place else you can imagine that are just ridiculous. Now, Jesus said, "For this cause I came into the world," and he announced what he came for. Now, we ought to be saying, "This is the cause that I'm alive." Number one, to put Jesus first. Number two, to be thankful to God. Number three, to put the right thing in my mind and imaginations. And you see, you got it? And number three, live in the light of, number four, live in the light of God. We talked about these four things now for a couple of months. And that's what we are to do. If you want to start thinking right, get your perspective right, and get into heaven right, then you need to understand what the Word of God says and speak it and do it. Now, we need to know why we were born. We're supposed to be know who we're supposed to be following, and we're supposed to know who we're supposed to be worshiping, and who is the Lord. We need to know where we came from, what we're supposed to do now, and where we're going. You won't find that on most news programs. You won't find that. You have to dig it out yourself in the Word of God and find out what's going on. Now you need to keep saying it, and then you need to keep doing it. Stop begging God and just saying, "You know, I'm nothing, I can't do nothing, but I can believe you can do anything. Come and move." He didn't have to come, he's already here. You understand what I'm saying? If you're a Christian, he's already here. You don't have to have God come do something. He's in you. Well, we need to start getting it right here. Now, here's what we ought to pray. This is truth. In myself, I am nothing, and that's true. I don't have any virtue or worth based on my own human ability, which I don't. But I'm in covenant with you, Father. Hallelujah. And I'm a brand new creature in my born-again spirit. I have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You said in your word that whoever I laid my hands on will be healed. And I believe it. In Jesus' name. I'll believe it if I pray for 1,000 people and they all die, but 1,000 number and one gets healed. Are you listening to me? I'm going to believe the Word of God regardless of what happens. And, who else have I got to hang on to? Who else am I going to follow into heaven? I mean, come on. This is the Lord. And we need to start believing God. Let's pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, in myself, I am nothing. I don't have any virtue or worth based on my own human ability. But I'm in covenant with you, Father. I'm a brand new creature in my born-again spirit. I have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You said in your word that whoever I lay my hands on will be healed. I believe it in Jesus' name. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's just keep going. It just gets better. All right. Start taking your authority, start commanding things, and start releasing things in God's power. You need to start doing this. You got to speak to these things. I finally learned you just don't say, "Lord, heal my broken arm." I speak to this arm in the name of Jesus Christ, whose power is in me, to be healed. That's the way to do it.
That's right.
You see? We got to start taking charge. That's what Jesus would do if he was right here personally praying for my broken arm. He would command that thing to be healed. And he is here. He's in you. And now there's some things that we're going to talk about right now, some basic things. If I want to listen to our radio station, I got to turn into a certain frequency.
Yep.
And I got to turn the radio on. There's some things I have to do. It's just not going to come out of thin air with nothing. There's ways to do things. Turn the radio on, dial it to the right frequency, have the antenna up, and you're going to hear it if you're within 8 miles of the tower in this case. But the issue is, it's all based on, so everything we do should be based on God's Word. Now, you have to hear God. You need to know what He's doing. We need to daily be in the Word of God. I mean, come on. This is the Word we're supposed to be learning, not only to use here, but to use in heaven. God's getting us ready for heaven. He's got a language up there. He's got His Word up there. And we need to hit the ground running when we get there. You understand? Not just saying, well, I never heard that before, God. I mean, come on, give me a break. It's right there in the Word of God. It's in the Bible. We need to be learning this now. We're going to be in heaven a lot longer than we're here. I started to say, I won't get into that. But anyway, the issue is, argue people where they're going to be, heaven or earth. They're both good if God's involved.
We'll tell it, brother.
All right, now. All right, now. We got to start communicating. You got to be daily in the Word of God. You got to keep on learning. You got to keep on learning. You got to keep on learning. You'll never learn it all, and then we learn the rest of it in heaven. But the more we learn now, the better it's going to be when we get there. All right? Now, who wants to start out in kindergarten in heaven? Not me. I want to get that over down here. All right. Now, now, we need to keep on learning. We need to bring around God's people. We need to be in church. Some people need to be in church every time the doors open because they got a lot to learn and they haven't learned it yet. Also, maybe they're a new Christian. They need to be every time the door opens and learn the Bible. That's what the basis is going to be in heaven. It's not going to be on your great mental capacity. What would be the best? Learn your Bible or go to college?
Let's think here. Bible.
What's the world say?
College.
There you go. See, the world has its way. God has its way. Nothing wrong with going to college, learning a trade, doing these things. But the issue is, leave the Bible out, you leave God out. And we say we love God, don't even open our Bible. Give me a break. That's crazy stuff. That's not reality. Now, we're going to do these basic things. And look in Philippians 2:5. Oh, I'm going to have to hurry here. Philippians 2:5. Okay, here we go. Let this mind be in you. Now here it is. Look at this. Underline it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. This is a point I'm making. Jesus Christ operated on this earth as man, not God, but man filled with the Spirit. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even those going to hell are going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you listening to me? Because he is. And this is his book. It's more important than any other book you'll ever pick up, period, and live by. Now, and then, of course, you want to live as sinless as possible. I mean, come on. You don't want the glass all dirty so you can't see through it. You understand what I'm saying? Keep your soul clean. Keep your life clean before God so that there'll be no static. And you're going to hear what he wants you to do. Now, you can do the same things that Jesus did. In fact, he said, as you know, you're going to do more of them. Look in Acts 3, 6 to 8. Acts chapter 3 and verses 6 to 8. And I'm going to hurry here so I can. I'm just got some good stuff coming here. Okay. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Now this is the most interesting story. It's about, there was a beggar that was at this gate. People walked by this guy for years. He had been there for a long time. Peter walked by the guy probably 100 times, maybe more than that, because he's on the way to the temple. Here's what it says. But this particular time, Peter had been praying to God, been in the Word of God, and he got a word. Don't just drop a coin in the guy's little bucket there this time. You got something else to do. Are you listening to me? Now this says Peter was the most fouled up character until he learned. And so none of you are this bad. So Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew who he was. And all the people ran to Peter to hear what was going on. That's the way our lives are supposed to be. Peter walked by this guy 100 times, probably gave him a few coins. But this time God said, "No coins. You tell him to rise and be healed in the name of Jesus." Peter was listening. He had had a quiet time with the Lord. He knew what he was supposed to do. All he did was speak what God said to speak. And that guy jumped up, totally healed. Now that's the way it'll be in your life. That's the way it'll be in your life. Have your time with God. Be in the Word of God. Start speaking to these things in your life. And then God will branch out and have you start speaking to other people. You see? But my goodness, start with yourself. Start with the family. Start with those close to you. And then start doing what God says. This thing was directed by God. Peter was walking in the Lord. He was walking in the Spirit. He knew what he was supposed to do. I go into Walmart a lot of times, nothing happens, particularly except I'm a little less money when I come out. But the issue is sometimes God wants us to pray for somebody. I'm not saying it happens every time, but every once in a while it does. God says, "Pray for this person." I pray for them. I don't know them. They don't know me. I ask them first. I used to go running up and slap my hand on them. I'd get slapped myself. You understand? And Peter says, "Such as I have." You have the power of God in you. That's the issue. And so, you know what most churches say? "Well, you're really weak. You can't do much. Just kind of sit there and come to church until you go to heaven. You know, just kind of take it easy. Don't get excited. Don't get all worked up about this thing, you know." And you're not going to pray any longer. "The doctor told me I was going to die. I can't do anything about it. Oh, God, please help me." Then murmur, complain, whine, and carry on for another hour. And no, take authority. Stand against the enemy. Stand. Don't you tell the enemy not to steal what God's given you, and he's not to do it. Fight to the death. I said, fight to the death.
That's right.
And if you die and go to Jesus, that's victory.
Amen.
You can't lose, but you don't give up. You keep fighting in Jesus' name, speaking the word of God, commanding these things to be done. You don't give up. You don't give up. You don't give up. Now, somebody always quotes this scripture and they say, "Well, you know the truth, it'll set you free." That is not what the Bible says. You got to read the whole thing. If you read the verse before, you'll find out that not only you know the truth and set you free, but you got to do the truth. Know it and do it.
Right.
It's not just knowing it.
That's
Some people know so much of the Bible, their head's about this big, and they do absolutely nothing. The reason they do, because it takes so much, all their strength just carry that head around. They can't do anything else. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens when you're just full of knowledge and do nothing with it. You just start blowing up like a balloon. And then usually you start telling everybody what a wonderful Christian you are. No. It's knowing the truth and doing the truth. We'd be better off than throwing all these notebooks out and junk and start doing something. Well, what you don't know will kill you, for one thing. And what you don't act on will too. You must act on it to produce in your life. We must believe that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Father's already provided everything I need. Right now I'm born again. I am destined for heaven because of what Jesus did. And now I can do the works of God. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to get saved or not. I'm already saved. I have the power of God. I'm going to heaven. Now I can do the works of Jesus. You see. Some people never get to the works of Jesus part. I remember when I got saved, I didn't know anything. And I finally started to learn some things, and then I wanted to learn some more. And you know, I did one of the dumbest things. I went to the preacher and said, you know, I want to know how to lead somebody to Jesus. Because I didn't know. And he gave me some little information, gave me a prayer to pray with somebody, and I wrote it down in my Bible. And I used that several times before I pretty much memorized it. And some people got saved. Now, I didn't know half of what I know now. And people got saved. Are you listening to me? It's a matter of doing the Word of God. It's doing it. It's getting in there and doing it. Right now we're born again. Right now we're filled. I can determine to appropriate what's mine and all this stuff. Now two scriptures real quick and I'm done. Ephesians 1. And I'm going to show you some practical thing here real quick to help you get involved. This is just very simple. And it's going to show you how to do this. Ephesians 1, verse 17. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because we read part of it a while ago. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. It says there's a whole lot of power toward us who believe. Okay? And then you read on down to 23. We did that a while ago. Now go to Ephesians 3:16. And there's another one here. Now mark these because we're going to use them. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith and you be rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all fullness and so on. Now, what do? You take these two groups of scriptures, Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, and Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. I want you to do it this week now. Get them down there. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, and Ephesians 3, 16 to 21, and make them yours. And here's how you do it. You start praying them. You pray them, you pray them, you pray them. You pray the Word of God. This isn't to make God do anything. This is to get the right thinking into yourself so that you will start doing these things. In other words, let's go. 2. Well, let's look at Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Lord, thank you that you're granting me, according to your riches and glory, that I am strengthened now with might by your Spirit in the inner man. Personalize it. Thank you, Lord, that Christ is dwelling in my heart by faith now, and I'm being rooted and grounded in love, that I'm being able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and that I know now the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and I am filled with all the fullness of God. That's how you pray. That's how you pray. You take Scripture and you make it yours. You take Scripture, it is yours, but when you speak it, your ears hear it, it goes into your heart, it becomes yours. Speak it out loud. Pray out loud. Pray out loud. Now, you can't always do that in Walmart if you're just walking down the aisle praying, but I'm talking about get time during the week to pray Ephesians 1:17-23, and Ephesians 3:16-21, and I'm going to ask you next week what that did for you. Okay? How many are willing to do that? Okay, that's just about everybody. Now, almost done. That's how you get it active in your life. You speak it, you pray it, you speak it, you pray it, you do it. You speak it, you pray it, you do it. You speak it, you pray it, you do it. And that's the way you do it. Now, you're not making God do anything. He wants to do it in you. You just have to release it. That releases God to do what he wants to do in your life. You don't beg God for this stuff. You start thanking him for it because you already have it. Do I hear an amen? Now, this is how this book works. Whenever you read it out loud if possible, unless you're bothering somebody, and I understand. So this is how you get it active in your life. Now, you want your eyes to be open for what he's already done. Religion says you got to work for everything, you got to plead with God for everything, you got to pay money to get this from God, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to say 10 prayers of some kind who some man made up someplace, and you got to beg God, get down on your knees and beg God and beg God and beg God. No. You take the word of God, which he's already given you, and you speak it, you pray it, and you do it. Does that make sense to you? That's how this works. It's not complicated. Religion says come to the service, sing, and do this, and all that's good. Listen to the word, and then go home, and then come back next Sunday, and sing and praise God, and listen to the word, and then go home, and then come back next Sunday. That is religion. It has nothing to do. We come on Sunday because, hallelujah, God's filled us up with the Spirit of God, and we want to praise and worship him. Hallelujah. Get some more of the word so we can speak it and do it this week, and then just keep on moving. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you, people that say the Christian life is boring and dull are not doing it. They don't know what it is. They don't understand. They may not be saved. I don't know. I'm not saying we're the only ones saved. I know the churches believe that stuff. You don't belong to our church, you can't possibly be saved. Baloney. There's people saved all over the world. There's people saved in every denomination. Even if they don't preach the right stuff, God just reaches through and grabs them anyway. That's what happened to me. You know, and so the issue is we want to be alive in the Word of God. I didn't say everything's going to go great all the time. And I didn't say you're going to run around with $1 million and say any of that stuff. Watch the disciples, you never want to be a Christian. They all were martyred. But the issue is that, don't you think there was a celebration in heaven when they got there? Oh, my goodness, they got the big band out for those guys. You know? Can you possibly believe that there are religions that teach that if you take somebody's life, you're going to heaven. What's the name of that religion? Islam. Go out and kill somebody and you'll go to heaven. But that's crazy. Jesus said, love them into heaven. Love them into heaven. Oh, yes. If you have to give up your own life, it's all right. They'll get the big band out. I mean, Gabriel will be playing the tuba or something on that, in that band. It's going to be exciting. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian?
Amen.
Let's stand before the Lord. Music.